I want to just say to someone here that there's someone God's stirring. He's been prompting you to finally go all in with your faith, to give your life to Jesus and be baptized. And if that's you, there is never a bad day to get baptized. In fact, you tell us when you want to get baptized, we're on your schedule. But man, getting baptized on Easter, that is a memory you'll never forget. Easter is the Super Bowl of the Christian faith. It's where we remember everything Jesus did for us on the cross, his resurrection. So if your next step is baptism, I would challenge you. Text the word baptism to 72020. Get on our app. Talk to one of our pastors. Any way you want to, we want to make sure that Easter is a time that you can really make the biggest and best decision you can make with your life, which is giving your life to Jesus. So if that's you, let us serve you in that way, and I hope you'll take that challenge. Well, this weekend we're wrapping up our series on anxiety, and has anybody else enjoyed this series so far? God's been moving, and you know, I think many of us need it, because again, as science catches up with what God's Word has been telling us all along, let me just take you back to what happens in the brain, because today I want to talk to you about defeating the negativity in our mind. What we know, just looking at the mind today, is that you know, what scientists tell us is the average person has about 60,000 thoughts a day. Think about that. 60,000 thoughts a day, which is amazing. What's more amazing to me is 95% of those thoughts are repetitive. It's like we're having the same thought over and over and over again, which is awesome if those were all positive thoughts. Guess how many of our thoughts, what percentage are negative, we're told, the average person? 75%. 75% of the 60,000 thoughts we have a day are negative, and they're on repeat all the time. So we have to learn how to defeat the negativity that is flowing in our mind every single day. And we know this because what you know is that your thoughts in your mind dictate the direction of your life. Did you know that? And I can show you that, because think about it this way. Your thoughts actually lead to your beliefs. Your beliefs actually create an identity in you based on your beliefs, and those beliefs actually lead to your behaviors. So your thoughts are for sure dictating the direction of your life and the behaviors coming out of you. And that is why in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, we're told this: be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. So much of our life is won or lost on the battlefield in our mind. And make no mistake, it is a battlefield. I mean, I struggle on this battlefield, me personally, your pastor, I mean, all the time. I mean, and for so much of my life, and I've told you this, I've justified it. I've justified some of my negativity that often leads to some of my anxiety. My wife would tell you that I'll say, well, it's because I'm driven. I'm a leader. Things can always get better. And my wife is pushing back. She's like, well, so you're saying that you can only focus on like what's going wrong versus like what's right? I'm like, you're part of the problem, okay? You're wrong. See, the problem is I'm partially right. Like, things can always get better. But as we learned last weekend, this is a fallacy to focus all on that, because what we know from last weekend is that, remember what neuroscience tells us? The state of anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist in the mind. It's impossible. So that is why gratitude is the antidote to so much of our anxiety. But what we're going to learn today, and I'm so excited about this, is that we are told in Scripture we have to move actually beyond just gratitude. And so many of you started a gratitude journal from last week, and I'm so proud of you. But what we're going to learn today is that even with all the gratitude we try to put in our life, negativity can still seep in. And we have to do something with that negativity that Scripture gives us the antidote. And so I'm going to read you the entire verse in Philippians chapter 4 that we've been walking through verse by verse the past 5 weeks. We'll read the whole thing. And today, I want you to pay particular attention to what Paul says in verse 8. This is the very last section we're going to walk through today. When he says, finally, pay attention to what he says after that. And let's read this together like we have every single week. If you feel comfortable with me, would you read Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8? Let's start here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What Paul's going to tell us today is that you must elevate your thoughts to lower your anxiety. We have to learn to elevate our thoughts. And this is where some of us are immediately going to push back, right? You're going to be like, well, what are you talking about? I don't control all the thoughts that pop in my mind. And if you're kind of in that place where you're just feeling like almost like a victim, like these anxious thoughts just pop in, I don't control those anxious thoughts. First of all, I want to show you in a minute, I think that's crazy limited thinking. But two, I want to tell you, you are partially right. I mean, you don't control every thought that flies in your mind, right? Like, for example, if I told you right now, I said, do not think about a hairless cat. Don't do it. Don't put that in your mind. Don't you dare think about a cat. What are all of us thinking about right now? What's in our mind? Well, you're like, you put it on the screen, which is why you got to watch your screen time. You know what I'm saying? But every single one of us is thinking about a hairless cat right now. And you're like, I don't control that I showed up to church. My pastor showed me this like nasty, I mean like God, beautiful creation from God, you know, this hairless cat. You know, you don't control that. But let me put it this way. You don't control every thought that flies in your mind, but you do have control over which ones you allow to land. You didn't control that hairless cat coming to your mind, but you do control if you dwell on that, think about that. If you think about the rest of the message, we got some more things to talk about, okay? So you do have more control than you think about what thoughts land in your head, in your mind, and stay there. Let me put it this way. You got to become an air traffic controller of your mind. You know, like an air traffic controller, when I was in Bible college, I had a Bible college professor named Dr. Nofel Staten. Amazing professor, but before he became a Bible college professor, he actually worked as an air traffic controller at one of the busiest airports in the world, O'Hare, in Chicago. And what we learn about air traffic controllers, and you know this, is an air traffic controller doesn't control every single plane that might fly into his airspace that he controls. He doesn't control every airplane that flies in there, but he does control which ones he allows to land. And you don't let a plane land. You divert a plane if you think it's going to cause harm or be an issue. And I want you to know today, you have the same power that God has given you to be an air traffic controller of which thoughts you allow to land and play over and over and over again in your mind. The world will tell you different, and you are being lied to. Listen to what Paul writes. He writes Philippians chapter 4, which is the blueprint for dealing with anxiety. In my Bible, it's literally 8 pages earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Watch what Paul adds on this topic. Watch what he says. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war the way the world does. We don't buy into the lie that we are a slave to whatever comes into our mind. No. He says this. He says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. If you would you just say the word divine power with me? Divine power. The word divine means from God, and the word power is the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the English word dynamite. You have a power from God that allows us to do what? To demolish strongholds. Now, the word stronghold here is such a vivid image that you have to understand. See, stronghold is kind of this military term that was used in their day where you want to build a fort or build a fortress. And how do you build a fortress? In Paul's day, in Jesus' day, if you wanted to build a fortress, you took bricks, and you took one brick, then two bricks, and three bricks, and four, five, six bricks, and then you just built more and more and more and more and more until you have a fortress, a wall that seems impenetrable. And this is the image everyone would have had with a stronghold. But Paul is not talking about an actual fortress. He's talking about our mind. And this was written over 2,000 years ago. And what's amazing to me is neuroscience now shows us how strongholds are developed in our mind. You know how they happen? Here's what neuroscience tells us. Every single time you have a thought in your mind, it creates a neural pathway. There's a thought that creates a chemical pathway in your mind every time you have a thought. Now, if you have one thought, it's not a strong pathway. It's not easy to think that thought again. But what we know from neural pathways is every time you have a thought, it makes the pathway stronger. Think about it this way. It takes up more real estate in your mind. So when you have a thought thousands or hundreds or thousands of times, when you have that thought, it's easier to think the thought again and again and again. What is it doing? Watch this. It's developing a stronghold. Watch what happens in your thought life. You have one thought. It's like one brick, two bricks, three. That's not hard to get over. Hey, you can maybe get over that. But when you have a thought thousands and thousands and thousands of times, it develops a stronghold in your mind that feels like with anxiety, I'm never going to get out of this. And that's how some of you feel. You feel hopeless. Is there hope with the strongholds of anxiety that have developed in our mind? More than you could ever imagine by the power God has put in you. Watch this. We demolish arguments and every pretension. Pretension is the word thoughts here. Paul's expanding the thought after he said, hey, we have a divine power to demolish strongholds. How do we do it, Paul? We demolish every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. Could you imagine a life where you could take captive every single thought that came into your mind and make it obedient to Christ? You become that good of an air traffic controller that you don't develop these strongholds, but you take them captive and demolish them. I'm going to give you two big thoughts today from Scripture on how we do that. If you're taking notes, here's number one. You have to start here. You have to start define your most consistent anxious thought. This is your stronghold. Listen, you have a lot of anxious thoughts, a lot of us do, but you have to do the work to dig and find what's your most consistent anxious thought. And what does it center around? And how would you define it? And for some of you, it would be, I wrote some things, it would be around your health or the health of someone you love. Like you're going to get sick. One of your kids is going to get sick. Someone you love is going to get sick. Something bad is going to happen in your life. It could be financial. You're never going to have enough. You're never going to be secure. There's too much debt. And, you know, this job, you'll never have a great job or be able to buy a house. It could be your image. You don't like what you see in the mirror. And you constantly are comparing yourself to other people on social media. And it's a constant issue with yourself that you're not enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. It could be spiritual. Some of you struggle with the anxiety around your salvation. Like something you did in the past that you feel shame for and you wonder if a God could love or save someone like you. I could go on and on and on. It could be something that around failure. It could be imposter syndrome that you feel. I'll tell you very honestly, when I've struggled with that, and I've shared it pretty openly with you, it stems from a lot of things, but I can remember even my very first job out of Bible college. I went to work for the Intel Corporation, the large tech company, and when I went there, I graduated from a podunk Bible college, and I was with people that graduated from MIT, Harvard, I mean, all these amazing universities. And the one consistent anxious thought I struggle with daily was this. At what point are they going to figure out how dumb I am? At what point are they going to figure out that I am not good enough to be here? Like massive, massive imposter syndrome. And to be honest, there's part of that that I still struggle with even to this day. The reason you have to define this, and remember what Mark said week 3 of the series? Mark said you got to get to the thing beneath the thing. Sometimes we leave our anxiety so high level. I'm just anxious. No. Get beneath the surface. What are you anxious about? Why do you have to do that? Because you can't defeat what you won't define. You cannot defeat what you won't define. And this is where you have to do some work. You need to surround yourself with some good people because sometimes we have a hard time doing that on our own. So that's why you should be in a CCV small group. This is why you should have really strong Christian friends that can help you. This is why sometimes seeing a counselor is so powerful to help you get to define what is that thing. How would you define it? And anxiety is tricky, right? Because anxiety is different than fear. Do you remember this? Let me remind you, fear sees a threat and moves on. It's real, and we move on. But anxiety imagines, and we get stuck. In other words, fear sees a snake, and you move on, and the fear goes away. But anxiety imagines there's snakes everywhere, and you can get stuck. When Satan wants to trap you in a stronghold, what he does is he sends a fleet of airplanes with what-ifs flying into your mind. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that? And he's waiting to see which one's going to stick. And whichever one sticks that you start rummaging over, he sends that same what-if over and over and over again. And here's the problem. Almost always your what-ifs are lies. Someone's thinking, my anxiety is not a lie. Don't misunderstand. I didn't call the feelings of your of anxiety a lie. I said the thing that's leading to your feelings of anxiety is almost always a lie. Why? Because it's a what if that hasn't happened yet. You're like, what if my what if happens? Take that, Pastor Boy. Huh? And what we learned week 2 of the series is that no matter what happens in your life, you got to stand between the pillars of God's goodness and God's control, and God can take anything this world throws at you, and he can use it for good. Anything. So almost all your what-ifs that you're rummaging over, it's a lie from Satan himself. So how do you keep those lies from landing to become a good air traffic controller? Number 2, you defeat a lie by replacing it with the truth of God's word. This has to be your source of truth, not some other source in this world. And here's why. Remember, Paul tells us, he says, finally, I'm going to give you a list of things from God's word. This is the only thing I want to land in your mind and stick. And he goes through the list. Finally, brothers and sisters, hey, whatever's true, which means not imaginary, we're not talking what ifs, only if it's absolutely true, whatever's noble, which is worthy of thinking about, because you might think something's true, but it's not noble in your life. Whatever's right, is it consistent with God's word? Whatever's pure, is it holy? Is it set apart from this world? Whatever's lovely, I like this. Whatever's kind, are you being kind to yourself in your mind? If it's not lovely and kind, it's not from God. You have a God of compassion, of love, whatever's admirable. And he says this, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about these things. That's it. That's the only thing you allow to land. And when Paul uses the word think about here, it is so strategic. So strategic. Paul wrote this from God, inspired by God, over 2,000 years ago. And look what we now know about the mind. Let me show you this. Watch this. When Paul said think about, you know what the Greek word is? Watch this. The Greek word is logizomai. I mean, what English word does that sound like? Logic. Logical. This was such a strategic word. Watch how your brain works. Let me show you two centers of your brain. Inside your brain, the amygdala, which is a very small part kind of in the bottom middle of your brain, this is the center of emotion and the center of anxiety. Anxiety stems from the amygdala. I like what Max Lucado said. Max Lucado says, anxiety is an amygdala with a trigger finger. It's just firing shots of anxiety into your mind. Now, watch the connection. Where does the anxiety go to? It goes to the prefrontal cortex to be processed. Do you know what the prefrontal cortex is known as? This is the logical part of your mind. And so what we're being told is that anxiety needs to be bounced off of something logical, a truth that will destroy it from infiltrating your mind. And some of you are thinking this, why isn't the logical part of my mind working right now? Because you are filling your mind with logic that is not logical. If you fill your mind with the things of this world, social media, the news cycle, just your friends' opinions about your life and what you should do. Do you understand how many things in this world are completely outside the logic of what God says about you? I mean, how many times have you got on social media and you read something and you're like, someone has to be a lunatic to believe that? And guys, we fall prey to this thinking because we consume it all the time. I mean, just go back to your childhood. How many things in your childhood did you believe that were completely illogical? Like, no logic to them at all. I mean, I was thinking this last week for me, and I was thinking, I'm a candy addict, okay? I'm a recovering candy addict. I'm trying to get off of it, and I just grew up like candy, and I love, like, do you remember the Pop Rocks? I grew up, and I was told, if you eat Pop Rocks with a Coke, your stomach explodes, you die on the spot. Anybody else remember that? Like, I still haven't ate Pop Rocks with Coke to this day. It's a lie. It's stupid. And then I was thinking about other things. You know, when I was young, I had a bunch of freckles on my face, and I was a little insecure about them. I think my mom knew that about me. And so my mom told me over and over and over again that where did freckles come from? They were angel kisses. Oh, sweetie, your freckles are those angels just came down, and they were just kissing all over you. I'm like, really? Oh, man, if these freckles got together, I'd have a great tan. You know what I mean? It's like, you know. And when my kids were born, my kids had freckles. What did I tell them? Angel kisses. It's not, okay? There's nothing in this book, if you were told that, there's nothing that says a freckle's an angel kiss. It's not. Now, those are all funny examples of how illogical sometimes we've been told things in this world. But guys, there's some big things you've been told. And there's some big things you've let seep into your minds that are absolutely not true. Let me give you a couple examples. And these would fall under the area of what psychologists call cognitive biases. What is a cognitive bias? And this can happen to all of us from our childhood or from a really painful experience in our past. A cognitive bias is mistakes in reasoning based on personal experiences or preferences. Let me speak to you women for just a minute. Some of you women grew up and you were hurt badly by a man. You were abused by a man, maybe multiple men over your life. And now you have a cognitive bias that your logic says, all men are dangerous. All men may hurt me. It's not true. There are godly men that will not abuse you the way you've been abused. And yet that logic is in your mind. There's some of you that grew up and you were told something, and I'm so sorry for what you were told. You were told that you're ugly, that you'll never amount to anything, that you're worthless. And the cognitive bias has done something to the logic in your mind that you still wrestle with that today. Hey, some of you grew up being told that wealth is bad. It's crazy, but now you have a little wealth and you actually feel anxious about it. What do you do to defeat the lies and the things that are not logical that seep into our mind and create these strongholds? these poor logic, the only way you defeat a lie is you submit it to the truth of God's word. You have to have a higher truth than what you think or what the world around you thinks. And that's why God gave us his word as that truth. Now watch what Paul tells us. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember we read this already. He says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. The word take captive here is so powerful in the original language. It means to take power over someone or something with a sword or a spear. Think about that. In fact, Jesus uses the same term in Luke 21 when he says they will fall by the sword and will be taken prisoners. So you're like, man, if only in the Christian life we were given a sword that could take captive these thoughts in my life that are dominating my anxiety. In the Christian life, what is our sword? What is our sword? It's God's word. Can I show you so clearly? Watch this. Ephesians chapter 6. We were given the armor of God to take on in our lives. The sword of the Spirit is what? It's the word of God. And the tense of word of God here actually even means to have the word of God spoken. So some of us, it's like we may read God's word every once in a while, but do you take a truth from God's word that fights an anxious thought in your mind, and do you speak it over your life? Speaking that, declaring it, is so powerful. And watch again. Let me show you the image again with the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex, which is the logical part of our mind. Watch this. If you are not filling the prefrontal cortex with the truth of God's word, there is really, I don't know how you can fight all the lies that are coming and all the anxious thoughts coming from the amygdala in your mind. This logic part of your mind must be filled with the truth, not from this world, not from social media, not from anybody else. I don't care who they are. It has to be filled with the truth of God's word. That's your sword. And you know what some of you are, you know what some of you are fighting with right now? Do you remember these little plastic swords that they, you know, remember this? Like you put these in cupcakes and stuff like that. This is what some of you are fighting your anxiety with, literally. It's a little plastic sword that is not helpful. It's not doing it. The things you're given, the truth in this world, they're not working. Do you know when Paul used the word sword and Jesus used the word sword? Do you know what everyone would have had in their mind in the first century when Jesus lived? They would have had what's called a Roman gladius. This is an exact replica of a Roman gladius that I keep in my office. And I'll tell you why I keep it in my office in a minute, okay? In Jesus' day, when Paul wrote this, this was the most dangerous and powerful weapon available in the world. The Roman Empire used the gladius to destroy legions. And what God is trying to tell someone here today is the most powerful weapon in your life, the most powerful weapon to fight anxiety and any issue you're dealing with, this is it. And so many of us have traded this for a piece of plastic, and it's not working. How do you defeat anxiety? Watch this. You define your most anxious thought, and then you drive a sword through it. You take that connection between the amygdala sending anxiety signals to your prefrontal cortex, the logic, and the logical part of your mind is a sword that is filled with the word of God that can conquer any lie Satan will try to put into your mind. Now, why do I keep this in my office? Because I personally need a reminder that I need God's word in my life. That I am just as prone to anyone of having anxious thoughts. In fact, I love this verse out of Hebrews. It hangs in my preaching office. I see it almost every time before I walk on stage. It says this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And everyone would have been thinking about this. It's sharper than this. Piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Look at that verse. Discerning the thoughts. How do you discern which of your thoughts that are causing anxiety are actually real and true? It's the Word of God. And you guys, my thoughts, Ashley's thoughts on his own, my thoughts are not all discerning all the time. I need this in my life. Did you know I can struggle with anxiety? You do realize that I'm in my profession, a preacher, public speaking, this is like an anxiety-ridden, profession, you know what I'm saying about? Like one of the top stressors in people's lives is public speaking. That's what I do for a living. And what some of you see is you see a very confident person on stage. And I just want you to know that is not the reality of what happens off stage all the time. In fact, I can allow anxious thoughts and lies from my enemy to begin to fly into my mind, and I have to determine which of those am I letting land versus which of those are lies that need to be destroyed and pierced by the Word of God. Can I tell you one of my most anxious thoughts? And this is getting pretty real, but I don't know any other way to preach to you than just to be real. One of my most anxious thoughts is, with all the messages I preach here at CCV, what if I run out of things to say? What if I run out of things where when I stand up here, you're like, it used to be okay, but now it's pretty rough. That's one of my most anxious thoughts. Is that from God or from my enemy? You guys, look back at the verse. Hebrews chapter 12. The Word of God is living and active. It never becomes irrelevant. As long as I'm preaching from this book, I will never run out of things to say. Are you kidding me? It's sharper than a double-edged sword. You understand, this book never gets dull. That is a lie. As long as I am submitted to the Word of God and preaching the Word of God to you, it will never be irrelevant. It will never become dull. In fact, as this world gets darker, this book becomes brighter and becomes the way forward. That's a lie. And that's why, hey, if you come to CCV, that is why I will never, ever stop preaching from God's Word, and I will never, ever stop challenging you to get your life into this book. Some of us, we come to church, you hear the Word of God spoken over you, which is good, but do you have a personal time in God's Word yourself? Where God is taking the power of His Word into your mind and heart and using it as a sword to slice and dice and deal with the anxious thoughts and the lies coming in your mind. I'm telling you, every single one of you, you need to be in God's Word daily with a Bible reading plan. And you also need to be with a group of people, like a CCV group, that can help you. And if you need help with either of those things, you can go to our Next Step Center on any campus, talk to one of our pastors. We're here to help you. We preached on how to get into God's Word, how to find a Bible reading plan, how to begin to understand it a little more so you don't feel lost. And this week, by the way, on every campus, we have Starting Point. And Starting Point is a class that will take you on a journey where you can be able to engage in the church and in God's Word and community more deeply. Some of you have never taken Starting Point. That would be your next step. If you're watching this on Monday, we have many upcoming opportunities this week, even online. I just want to challenge you today the same way I'm challenging myself. You can't walk through this life without the most powerful weapon God has given you to fight the what-if lies constantly flying in your mind. And some of you have a stronghold. And it's like every brick that's been built, you're going to need to find a truth from God's Word. And they're there. That can begin to demolish the strongholds, to take captive every thought and I submit it to Christ and His Word. As we wrap up this series, I just feel like God's moving in our church. And I want to do something a little different to close our service out today. I want us to take communion, which reminds us of the power of God in our life, the body and blood of Jesus that was shed on a cross, and His resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that exists inside of you, that God wants to give you the power, according to His Word, to take captive your thoughts and submit them. They will bow at the name of Jesus. And so as we take communion here in a minute, here's what I want to do. It's going to be a little different. I'm going to ask our bands to come on every campus in a moment, and I'm going to ask them to sing a song over you, over us. And I don't want you to stand for this song. I just want you to be seated. Let it be sung over you. It's a song called Breathe. It's about anxiety and how God can bring you peace when you don't feel like you can breathe. And during this song, what I want you to do, just sit in your seats, is I want you to think about, what's that one consistent anxious thought? Define it. And you may wrestle with that, but just whatever God brings to your mind, just let it sink in. Let God reveal to you what that is. And then I want you to make a commitment that you'll begin to battle the lies in your mind with the truth of God's Word, that you'll begin to use this book and God's Word, the truth, to defeat it. And when you're ready, during this song, I want you to just take communion, thanking God for giving us the power of His Son Jesus, His resurrection power. And then when the song's done, I want to come out and just close out our whole entire season and this series, and just, I want to pray over you and pray for God's power over you. But right now, I want you to close your eyes. If you feel comfortable, just close your eyes. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture from Philippians. We've been in the past 5 weeks. I want to read it over you. Let God speak this into your heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Literally, God is right next to you at this moment, speaking to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that's gratitude, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.